Please stand by. Good day, and welcome to the Fondul Proprietatea Half Year 2021 Results Conference Call. Today's conference is being recorded. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Marius Dan, Deputy CEO, Corporate Strategy. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you. Good afternoon, and welcome everyone to our conference call to discuss the first half 2021 results of Fondul Proprietatea. Johan Meyer, CEO, Franklin Templeton International Services, Bucharest branch, Cătălin Cadaru, Head of Financial Reporting, and I are pleased to host today's call. The first half 2021 results report can be found on the fund's website in the investor relations section, and the presentation that we will be discussing was sent out to you earlier today. The slides are also available on our website at www.fondulproprietatea.ro in the results presentation section. After the presentation, we will have a 30-minute Q&A session. As a reminder, the conference call is being recorded. The recording will be available on the fund's website after the call. That being the agenda, I turn to Johan to start off with the presentation.
Thanks, Marius, and hello, everyone. I'm starting with slide two of the presentation, where we highlight some key facts about the fund. End of July, the NAV was just shy of RON 11 billion, $2.65 billion, and the NAV per share reached RON 1.8533 per share. On the right-hand side, you can see the evolution of the fund's adjusted share price and discount or premium since the fund's listing in January 2011. We've been fortunate to have an impressive performance in the first half of the year, reaching another milestone in the fund's history, and that being trading at a premium. As of yesterday's close, the fund was trading at a discount of around 1.5% for the shares and 1.8% for the GDRs. During the 16th of July shareholder meeting, the fund's shareholders approved another special gross cash distribution of 0.07 per share. That's 0.07 per share. The dividend yields for the two special dividend distributions conducted this year are 4.17% for the 0.072 distribution and 3.9% for the 0.07 distribution. On slide three, we present the fund's shareholder structure as at the end of July 2021. Compared to the end of 2020, the most significant change is the decrease of the BNY Mellon position. The depository bank for the GDRs registered mainly in the first quarter of the year, declining from 22% to 17%, and the subsequent increase of the foreign and Romanian institutional shareholders. Moving on to slide four, we show a summary of the NAV, the share price, and the GDR performance since 2011, as well as the evolution of the fund's average annual discount on the Bucharest Stock Exchange and the London Stock Exchange. The NAV total return in the first six months of the year was 18.4%, and the total return for local shares was 32.9%, with the total return for the GDRs at 37.1%. Year to date, the NAV was up 18%, while the total returns for local shares, 32% and 37% for the GDRs. Moving on to slide five and six, we show the contributors to the fund's NAV performance in the second quarter of 2021, as well as for the first six months of the year. Not surprisingly, the top performer in the second quarter was Hidroelectrica. Following the update of the independent valuation report for the company, given the strong operational and financial performance, as well as the two dividend distributions approved by the company's shareholders for 2021. OMV Petrom is the second-best performer for the period, as the company registered a very strong performance in the second quarter of the year. The other performers for the quarter were the unlisted companies ENGIE, Constanța Ports, and E-Distribuții Dobrogea, as a result of the updated valuation reports reflected starting with the June NAV. The updates of valuations of unlisted companies had, in turn, a negative impact for Bucharest Airports, Salrom, Zirom, and E-Distribuții Banat, with these companies, together with the listed ALRO, being the bottom performers in the second quarter of the year. The overall performance for the NAV in the second quarter of 2021 was positive 6.3%. For the six-month period on slide six, we have top performers, again, the unlisted Hidroelectrica, ENGIE, Constanța Ports, as well as listed companies OMV Petrom and ALRO. For the second quarter, the bottom performers were Bucharest Airports, Salrom, Zirom, E-Distribuții Banat, and the listed Romaero. Overall performance of the NAV for the first six months of the year was 13.8%. The fund will continue to closely monitor the evolution of the financial markets and that of the specific industries the unlisted holdings operate in, for each NAV reporting date, and if necessary, an update of the multiples analysis will be prepared, and the valuation of unlisted holdings will be updated accordingly. Moving on to the next section, we're providing an update on the fund's portfolio. On slide 8, we show the portfolio structure as at the end of July. 78% in unlisted companies, 17% in listed equities, and 5% in net cash and receivables. The net cash and receivable position as at the end of July was $130 million. This amount is net of the special gross cash dividend distribution of 7 Rand cents per share that was approved by shareholders on the 16th of July, and which was reflected in the 30 July 2021 NAV as a liability. Moving on to the next slide, we show the listed versus unlisted split of the fund's portfolio as at the end of June. The largest listed company remains OMV Petrom, while Hydroelectrica is the largest holding in aggregate. I would like to highlight that we also published today the fund's detailed statement of investments as of 30 June 2021, which is available on the fund's website in the investment section. Moving on to slide 10, we present the top 10 portfolio companies as at 30 July 21, representing 93% of the fund's NAV, with Hydroelectrica, OMV Petrom, and Bucharest Airports representing close to 76% of the fund's NAV. On slide 11, we show a summary of the first half 21 preliminary financial results for the main portfolio companies that have released figures so far for the period. And I will elaborate a little bit more on these figures in the following slides. Moving on to slide 12, we provide some updates on Hydroelectrica. According to the company's management, in the first 6 months of the year, turnover was up 78%, 3.2 billion RON. EBITDA increased by 96% to 2.4 billion. Operating profit was up 119% to 2.1 billion RON. And the net profit was up 109% to 1.7 billion RON. Electricity sold was 10.5 terawatt hours, up 33.2% year on year, out of which of electricity sold of its own production reached 10.1 terawatt hours, up 46% year on year. Over the period, the average realized selling price was up 41% to 283 RON per megawatt hour. As a result of the changes to the Romanian water law implemented during 2020, as well as higher electricity production volumes, the company registered total costs with the water used to produce electricity of 324 million RON, up from 147.8 million RON during the similar period of 2020. The company's net cash position was 3.9 billion RON as of 30 June 2021. Moving on to slide 13. We present the main updates on OMV Petrom, the fund's second largest holding. In the January to June 21 period, net income increased by 12% compared to the same period last year. Q2 21 net profit doubled year on year, was below consensus as it was hit by negative one-offs of 403 million RON from the sale of the upstream assets in Kazakhstan and the temporary losses from the electricity forward contracts. Gas sale volumes were down 24% year on year as gas production decreased and the regulatory required large sales volumes in the second quarter created a high base effect. According to the announcement made by the FTC on the 20th of August 21, starting with the 17th of September, OMV Petrom will be added to the FTSE Emerging Markets Mid-Cap Index. Moving on to slide 14, we have some updates on Bucharest Airports. Operating activity remained loss-making in the first half of the year, as traffic was still down by 72% compared to pre-COVID levels. However, the summer season marked a strong recovery in operating activity, with the traffic numbers reaching 950,000 passengers in July, which is only 35% lower compared to 2019. The company has been heavily impacted by another wave in the pandemic, with the number of passengers and flights having seen a significant decline in the first half of 21. The latest traffic report from ACI Europe, the airport industry trade body, reveals that traffic in the EU airports from April 21 decreased by 88.4% year on year. Moving on to the following slide, we show the following or the latest operational figures for Constanza Ports. The first 6 months of the year, the net result was up 11.5%, boosted by a 29 million RON reversal in provisions. And business trends were encouraging, with the company registering 17% increase in sales, mainly from services rendered to ships. Encouragingly, port traffic was also up by 8% year-on-year, with oil products and iron ore as the main growth drivers. Moving on to ORO, slide 16. As the company did not recognize any revenues related to the compensation scheme, EBIT was 81.5% lower year-on-year. The reported net loss was 47.6 million rand in the first half of the year, mainly due to losses from commodity options. The adjusted net loss was 14.8 million rand, excluding the loss from the financial derivative instruments. As you may be aware, ORO received 250 million RON as of September 2020 out of a total of 647 million from state aid, which partially allows energy intensive consumers to compensate the indirect emission costs included in energy prices. EU ETS guidelines for 2021 to 2030 entered into force in January 21. The benchmark factors for indirect emissions are still to be published by the European Commission. ORO itself expects 81 million euros from the compensation for indirect emissions in 21. The aid for 2021 could be recognized in 22 financial statements, similar to ORO's approach in 2020. Moving on to the next slide, we present some updates on Salrom. On the operational side, during the first 6 months of the year, the company reported total operating revenues of 161.2 million RON, an increase of 26% year-on-year, and a net profit of 22 million RON, up 444% year-on-year. We're pleased to announce that last month, the company's shareholders approved in principle the listing of Salrom through a public offer made by Profondo Proprietatea as the selling shareholder. With that, I'll conclude my comments, and for the corporate actions section, I'd like to invite Marius to comment. Thanks, Marius.
Thanks, Johan. On slide 19, we outlined the fund distribution since we started managing Fondo Proprietatea. For 2021, the total distributions made as of the end of August, through dividends and buybacks, amounts to 1.08 billion RON, so about $250 million. And this brings the total distributions that have been made since we have taken over the management of Fondo Proprietatea to 14.8 billion RON, approximately $4 billion. Moving on to slide 20, we show the main details for the two special dividend distributions that have been approved by the fund shareholders at the end of April, as well as in the shareholder meeting that took place on the 16th of July. This brings the total cash distributions for this year to 14.2 ban. So that's around 841 million RON, or just above $200 million. On slide 21, we outlined the details of the fund's latest buyback programs, the cancellation of the shares that we have bought back in 2020 and which have been approved by the fund shareholders to be canceled on the 28th of April shareholder meeting. That is currently ongoing, and we hope to have it finalized in the coming weeks. For the current 12 buyback program, the daily share buybacks continue, and as of the 27th of August, we have been able to repurchase around 147 million shares at an average share price of 1.6524 RON per share. As you have already seen, a shareholder meeting has been convened for the 29th of September, and one of the items that we are asking shareholders to vote on is the amendment of the authorization to repurchase shares and GDRs during this current buyback program at a maximum price of 2.5 RON per share. All the other aspects of the buyback program have been approved by shareholders last year on the 13th of November shareholder meeting. Those remain unchanged, but we wanted to increase the upper limit of the share buybacks to really accommodate for the increase in the share price and to ensure that we will not be forced to withhold any daily buybacks due to the positive market movements for the fund shares. Moving on to slide 22, we include the details for the fund's annual net dividends and dividend payout ratios for the top 10 portfolio companies for the end of July 2021. These are in amount of 391 million RON. And then moving to slide 23, this shows a summary of the total dividend income received from the portfolio companies in the last 9 years. But for 2021, at the end of August, the amount of dividends and special dividends amounts to 649 million RON. That includes, of course, the special dividend from Hidroelectrica, the largest holding in the portfolio. Moving on to slides 24 and 25, where we show the main topics on the agenda of the upcoming shareholder meeting. On the EGM agenda, the main point, as I've already mentioned, is the amendment of the maximum price for the ongoing buyback program that will be increased to 2.5 RON per share. And then for the OGM agenda, which is reflected on slide 25, the main topics are the approval of the renewal of the mandate of Franklin Templeton as fund manager of Fondul Proprietatea for a duration of 2 years, starting with 1st of April 2022, based on the following key commercial elements. The base fee proposed is 45 basis points. The distribution fee, 2.5%, applied to the value of the distributions made between 1st of April 2022 until 31st of March 2023, and 1.75% applied to the value of the distributions made afterwards, so between 1st of April 2023 until end of the mandate on the 31st of March 2024. The mandate continuation vote will take place in April 2022, but we are proposing to skip a mandate continuation vote in April 2023, as there will already be a negotiation for a new mandate during that same year. That's point A. Point B would be the approval of the appointment of a new sole director of Fondul Proprietatea that would act as an attorney for, investment fund manager for a mandate for 2 years, starting with 1st of April 2022, according to the legal provisions in force. And for this point, shareholders can propose candidates and commercial terms for each candidate proposed until 6th of September at 5 p.m. Bucharest time. Also important to note that according to Article 19, Paragraph 3 of the Constitutive Act of the Fund, the two subpoints A and B should not be voted in the same manner since they are mutually exclusive. Voting in favor of one should mean voting against or abstention for the other. Another point to underline is that the process for the renewal of the mandate of FTIS is involving two steps, as has been the case in the past. If the key commercial terms are approved as proposed, then there will be another shareholder meeting to be called shortly after the 29th of September 2021 meeting. And during the second shareholder meeting, that would be expected to take place by the end of 2021, the shareholders will be asked to vote on an updated investment policy statement, a new alternative investment fund management agreement, and then the updated remuneration policy of the fund, which is basically an update to the existing policy as approved during the 28th of April 2021 shareholders meeting. Now, the fund financial results for the first 6 months of the year are presented on the next slide, slides 27 and 28, and I would like to invite Cătălin Cadaru, Head of Financial Reporting, to comment. Cătălin?
Thank you, Marius. Hello, everybody. In terms of the balance sheet developments on the next slide for the first 6 months of 2021, we can notice an increase of the portfolio by approximately 1.2 billion RON, and this one was mainly driven by Hidroelectrica two valuation reports updates prepared during the period, and also the good performance of ORM Petrom share price during the period. If we move to the next slide on the results for the period, the fund ended the first six months of 2021 in an unaudited profit of 1.8 billion, out of which a significant part is the change in fair value mentioned previously coming from the portfolio. And the second largest contributor to this profit is the dividend income that was already presented by Marius in detail in the previous slides. Thank you, Marius.
Thank you, Gotalin. At this point, we would like to open it up for any questions that you may have.
Thank you. If you would like to ask a question, please signal by pressing star 1 on your telephone keypad. If you are using a speakerphone, please make sure your mute function is turned off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. A voice prompt on the phone line will indicate when your line is open. Please state your name before posing your question. Again, that is star 1 to ask a question. And we'll pause for just a moment to allow everyone an opportunity to signal. We'll take our first question. Caller, please go ahead.
Hi, gentlemen. Thank you very much for the presentation. Another excellent set of numbers. Congratulations. So just a couple of quick questions here. The first is, in the 7-plus years that our funds have owned Fondul shares, we've always thought they're worth much more than they're trading for, and the NAV should be much higher than it's then quoted. That's just been our analysis all along. Now, in the current circumstance, the price has caught up with at least the stated NAV, and the share buyback authorization that you're looking at for a maximum price is currently at least quite a bit higher than the last stated NAV. And I'm just curious what your thinking is in determining what the maximum purchase price could be in the share buyback. And second, how would you look to actually execute on this upper bound umbrella that you're looking to go out and get authorization for? And again, I come back to the first comment I made. I've always thought your NAV is far higher than stated by the numbers, by auditors or whatever. Our own estimates have always been superior. But even so, this is quite a bit higher than the current stated NAV number that you're looking for. I'm just trying to understand your thinking and how you intend to execute on it. Thank you.
Yeah, I think is not a great deal of sophisticated science behind it. I think it's important just to note that the existing upper limit is 2 RON per share, and judging by the increase that we've seen in the share price over the last year and a bit, we simply didn't want to run into a situation where we didn't have the authorization from shareholders to continue with the buyback program because of a limitation like that. So certainly for the upcoming period, we think that increasing the upper limit to 2.5 gives us sufficient room to be able to continue with the buyback program, whether it is through daily buybacks or potentially through tender offers as may be appropriate. So it just gives us the flexibility to be able to continue doing this. It shouldn't be interpreted as a communication on what we think the underlying value is worth, or of the underlying value of the assets.
Great. Yeah. Fair enough. My curiosity here is that you certainly have some sense of it being a positive investment for you to go out and buy back your shares. Should we expect that, for example, for the first time in years, the fund has actually gone into a premium in the most recent reported quarter, that you might actually want to even go by that the law allows you, and that your preference might be to buy back at a premium to stated NAV at any point in time? Is that something that we can read as a possible outcome in the capital allocation decisions within this share buyback period, were the 2.50 to be an authorization that you do receive?
Let me put it this way: if we want to continue participating in the market on a daily basis, so I think that's very much part of our continued thinking in terms of continuing to manage a discount or not to the NAV.
Okay, understood. Thank you very much on that. One other quick follow-up, and I have others I'll come back into line after that, is on Hydroelectrica. Great result over here. Just curious about the water cess. It's something that had been signaled by management for a while. We've seen the numbers now come through. Is this now a more or less settled level of cess, or are there any other one-offs or any other noise or rumbling that we should be aware of in terms of any increase to the level of the cess that the company may have to bear in the next whatever visible period you have or the company has for its forecasting. Thanks.
Yeah, obviously, and my colleague Daniel is online as well, so he can also chip in with any comments if necessary. But I think there are obviously a lot of moving parts with Hidroelectrica. So one of the negative aspects that we continue to highlight is the impact of the water tax, which we've seen come through in the context of increased costs. What we have also seen is that increase in cost is completely masked by what's happened with the revenue side of the business. Of course, the revenue side of the business is driven by volumes and it's driven by pricing. Pricing has been incredibly high in especially in the summer period. And they've been fortunate enough to have very good hydrology during the past month. So that means it's been also possible for them to increase the production volumes. So I think this is certainly it's a very good year. I don't know if it's going to be the benchmark for years going forward. What also needs to be taken into consideration with the results that are being recorded this year is that it's also including a return of the deregulated market. So the previous year 2020 still included the sales on the regulated market, which obviously had much lower prices.
Understood. Thank you, Johan. I had questions about Hidroelectrica's upcoming discussions about the upcoming listing and so on. Perhaps I'll leave that to a different questioner, or I'll come back at the end of the line to get any thoughts you have that are more current as you look out into a possible transaction or listing on that private asset. Thank you.
Thanks so much.
And as a reminder, that is star one to ask a question.
Okay, just want to check if there are any other questions on the phone lines. No, not. We have some questions that have been submitted through the web platform. The first one, Byron Miller from World Special Dividends, continue to be used as buyback shares instead of being paid out as special dividends. What we can say here is that it's not specific. So any inflow is not specifically dedicated to a purpose, as in dividends or buybacks. What we need to refer to in the cash distribution policy. So obviously the dividends that come in, we intend to distribute as dividends, less the costs. Of course, subject to being possible under what the distributable profit is or what we can do with the special dividends. With regards to the buybacks, we continue to participate in the daily buybacks every single day in order to continue managing the discount to NAV. So that is very much an ongoing basis. And going forward, we will continue to communicate what the intention is with any inflows in terms of the distribution mechanisms. So that will very much continue. Next question, update on Hydro IPO plans from Tarang. Marius, do you mind if I pass that one on to you?
Sure. We are still waiting for the law on advanced privatizations to be canceled. We were hoping that this was going to take place before the parliamentary holiday. There was a blockage in one of the commissions that needed to put their stamp on approval on the law that was canceling the ban on privatizations, and that ended up postponing this point. We expect this to happen after the end of September, because right now there are internal elections going on in the governing party, in the National Liberal Party, as well as the Union to Save Romania. And both the Prime Minister and the President of the National Party are campaigning against each other. So there is a little attention being directed towards these legislative changes that are required to go through the Parliament. So the internal elections in Penalera are on the 25th of September. And once things settle down, we expect this law to be enacted, which means that the company will have the green light to prepare for the IPO process. They, as a reminder, they already have the legal advisor, which is Dentons Europe. They have the equity advisor, which is STJ in London. Both are waiting for this green light in order to start preparations for the IPO, which would include, first off, the selection of the consortium of investment banks that would be in charge with the IPO. The timeline has shifted a bit, in our opinion. The company, as you've seen, is prepared financially, is prepared from an audit standpoint. But we think that the realistic timeline for the IPO, if the law passes in October and the ban for privatizations is lifted, we think Q2 or Q3 should be feasible in order to move forward with the IPO of Hidroelectrica. But we are working on it, and we are constantly in touch with the governing coalition as well as various MPs and in the parliament, and are following this process very closely, and will keep shareholders updated on any further development. We have another question online from Juliana. For Hidroelectrica, what is the second half outlook for production? How are current hydrological conditions? And what do you expect to happen regarding the water tax? Daniel, would you like to comment on the outlook and the hydrological condition?
Right, thank you. Well, speaking to management, they are quite optimistic about hydrological conditions. They are quite strong, so they should be at least in line with the budget for H2. But of course, ESO management, I think the feeling is that they could be better than budgeted. So remember that first half was very strong, significantly above budget. And second half, well, budget remains, of course, management's target, but my feeling is that general feedback is it should be somehow better. On the water, second question was on the water tax, no? Marius?
Yeah, what do we expect to happen regarding the water tax?
Well, of course, it was good that the prices and hydrology was very strong this year. As you know, basically this year, Hidroelectrica is paying the water tax based on the legislation that has been enacted last year. Basically, it is at the so-called maximum flow, which, based on the numbers that we have also included in our presentation, you see it goes has translated in a cost of around 32-33 RON per megawatt hour. As we have already said, there in Parliament there is a legislation to update the water tax in a sense in a positive sense, by linking directly the tax to production. Currently, there is a convoluted way of computing the volume of water use, which we think it's a very good development. The burning issue is, of course, what would be the level of the tax per megawatt hour produced. The proposal that was put forth by the, in Parliament, it's 33 RON per megawatt hour. so around to the realized cost that is currently incurred by Hidroelectrica. Of course, we as Fondo, we are talking with well, with MPs, with people, with also the people on the energy side, and also from the environment energy, and we are trying to explain that this is a significant increase from the level of the tax that, in 2020, and of course, where it has been over the past 10 years, so it's around 21-22 RON per megawatt hour. So we continue to argue that the increase is too steep. Also, in the way it has been legislated by setting it directly without a proper justification, we do think that it is not properly in line with the European directives in the matter. So that said, of course, we continue to advocate for a more balanced level of this tax. But of course, it's, at the end, the matter is in the parliament. So it is a matter that that also the decision makers know this is a contentious issue. And of course, we would hope, and we put our effort in that at the end of the day there will be a better level. But of course, there are no guarantees. I think this is on my side.
Thanks, Daniel. And I think one more important point to underline is that the recent increase in electricity prices in Romania has, especially in the last couple of weeks, has led to an intense public debate. And our intention is to point out the fact that such increases in the water in water taxes and any other taxes in the energy sector have a direct impact on the pricing. So if the government or the political parties intend to help electricity prices, they should first assess these level of water taxes, because as we point out in the presentation on the slide 12, where we show the results of Hidroelectrica in the first 6 months of the year, they paid 324 million RON in water tax compared to 148 million RON in the same period of last year. So it is a significant increase. It makes the results of the company recorded in this period even more impressive based on such a high water tax. But the governing coalition and the other political parties should be looking more carefully when they decide to increase water taxes in a very unpredictable way, that this has a direct impact on the final consumer. We have another question from Juliana Cepraga from Wood. Sovereign, what triggered the recent decrease in the valuation? Does not look warranted by the first half results. Can you give us an update on the listing process and potential timing? And then what is the 0.11 RON for 2021 in the dividend income slide? And on NG, what drove the recent increase in the valuation? Johan, would you like to comment?
Yeah, I've got that. Thanks, Marius. So Sovereign, I think what you need to keep in mind with the valuation is that the company comes off a very low base. So I think the increase in profitability looks tremendous, but we're still seeing only a marginal increase in terms of the absolute level of profits. So decrease in the valuation on the back of a loss of a large client, as well as a couple of years of fairly mild winters where there have been relatively low salt de-icing salt sales. So we do expect that to normalize and improve going forward. I think the worst is hopefully behind the company. So I wouldn't expect this to be the case going forward for forever. And of course, this is what we're trying to take into consideration with the preparation of an IPO. So while it is difficult to give an estimate on the overall timing, I think it's good to note that that we are making internal progress. So obviously with a process such as this, the next step would be for the appointment of investment banks, and thereafter the drawing up of the various pieces of documentation that will be required to carry out the listing. So it's not an easy process. I think the company itself obviously had some financial challenges. And this is something that we need to take into consideration as part of the preparation. But what I think is important to point out here is that that this is as part of an overall process and signals the support at the ministry level of moving companies, state-owned companies towards IPO. This is a relatively unique situation compared to other companies in the portfolio, where we have 49% compared to the government that owns 51%, compared to other situations where it's 20-80. And in this case, the seller is intended to be only Fondo Proprietata. Of course, what happens after an IPO remains to be seen. But still very much the process is ongoing, and I'd like to see this get away during the next year, of course being subject to being able to put together the investment banking consortium, getting ready the prospectus, and of course depending on the interest of shareholders or potential investors in Salrom. So you know, it's not going to be a market it's not going to be a massive regional issue, as would be the case, for example, with the hydro IPO. That's more than the regional in any case. So we do expect a lot of the demand for an asset of this type to be local and a bit from the regional area. Other questions Juliana had, the 11 RON in the dividend income, or the 11 cents, the 11 bunny in the dividend income slide. Juliana, that's just the sum of the annual dividend income and the special dividend income, and dividing it by the number of shares. So just to give an idea of what it looks like on a per share basis. So nothing much to read into that. And NG, the increase in NG's valuation, I think that's on the back of improved multiples and operational performance. There was a separate question if there's any news on Enel and NG. Unfortunately, nothing material that we can share. Of course, if there is anything material, we'll be communicating that to all the shareholders. A comment that we generally make is we continue to look at the assets across the portfolio and evaluate any potential actions that we can take with any of the assets. So it's no different with NL or NG. And should there be a material update, we will communicate that to shareholders. I've got a question on the phone lines.
Yes, we'll take our next caller. Please go ahead.
Hi, Johan. Back to Hydroelectrica here for a second. Just wanted to get a sense of valuation changes that may have occurred due to comparables. If you could just please provide a little bit more color. I know in other presentations through the year, you do provide quite detailed comp levels that may have been used. Here, we noticed that there is a valuation pickup. There's profitability pickup, but we also know from the market there are comparable valuation pickups also going on in a buoyant market. Just trying to untangle the effects to see what may have been the drivers in this instance. And then one other follow-up here also, again, on Hidroelectrica. I know you mentioned that prices have been a big driver in the first half. Are we seeing the forward curve looking at least as buoyant, looking the 1 year out as we've seen the first half, or is there any softening that you're looking forward as we've seen some softening in commodity markets in the last 2 to 3 months? Is there any softening that you're beginning to see in the forward curve looking out 6 to 12 months, where I believe Hidroelectrica does participate quite actively for its sales? Thank you.
Thanks, Daniel. I'll rope you in on the forward forward prices, but in the meantime, just talking about the valuation updates. To be quite honest, a little bit of both. So obviously with the comparables, there have been valuation increases. This increases the average valuation for the peer group, which is what the Hydro valuation is linked to. As mentioned, however, we've had a substantial increase in profit, especially in the first half of the year. The numbers are very good. Of course, it remains to be seen if those numbers are sustainable for the second half of the year and beyond in terms of the absolute levels. But both of those aspects contributed to the upward revision of the valuation. Now, it is important to keep in mind that the EBITDA number used is a normalized EBITDA. So we don't expect to see a valuation increase of 100% based on 6 months of financial results. I think this is something will, if the valuation or the financial performance of the company continues in the same vein, this will continue to be updated in progressive valuation reports. But I certainly don't want to create the impression that we are expecting a doubling of the carrying value.
Understood.
Daniel, on the forward prices.
Hi. Yeah, on the forward prices. Okay, this is I would say that Romania has a forward prices for pricing. Of course, I think what I would expect is really in this period, Hidroelectrica to be able to anchor and to sell. And to benefit from the strong forward prices. In the Romanian market, forward market is not that liquid. So also in the market, there has been a tendency, until players realize that forward market prices are there to stay strong going forward, at least a few years. So there was a lot of activity on the day ahead market. But as we progress in the year, my expectation would actually this nominal forward prices on the market, which actually in Romania at a premium to the Western Europe, are actually to be translated in actual transactions. So, well, of course, my expectation. Now, my expectation would be the Hidroelectrica management really to seize the opportunity of the strong forward prices, and then to translate this in much higher realized prices next year on the open market. The realized prices in the first half actually reflect quite a lot of forward prices that were locked the previous year, since when the prices were not that high, and also there was a lot of activity in the day ahead market. So I think it's Hidro's task and management really to seize the opportunity and lock in the strong forward prices. And of course, I think it's we always talk that Romania. Romanian electricity market is benefiting from the point of view of producer from a positive price gap with German market and with Western market due to the structure of the market, on the fact that it's still quite heavily relying on coal, and so my expectation would be is that they're going to continue to benefit and lock in much stronger prices going forward.
Thank you, Daniel, very much for that. I want to try to squeeze in, if I may, just another quick one on Hydroelectrica, this one to do with the concerns that used to come up periodically on their various budgets, but also their acquisition activity that they've talked about. For some time now, we haven't seen any grand plans in terms of diversification along renewables, or for that matter, non-renewables, as we heard about earlier last year. Can you just give a little bit of a lay of the land where this risk, or I'm cautious to call it an opportunity, so far I've seen it as a risk, where this risk currently sits with management, given that their core business is doing so well? On the one hand, that's good. On the other hand, there's lots of free cash flow for them to imagine new ideas. Just trying to get a sense of where you see it as they've been prepping themselves for an IPO, maybe, but also have in the past been active in various CapEx ideas that, for example, Fondul did not support, and other bigger picture investments, which were somewhat questionable, at least from our point of view. Any comments or thoughts on that would be much appreciated. And that's it for me.
Thanks, Dipinder. Yeah, I think the attention has very much shifted towards delivering a successful IPO. As Marius described earlier, unfortunately, we still have a legislative hurdle to overcome, and we do expect that to be resolved. But in the meantime, the attention is very much on positioning the company to deliver a clean and successful listing. It doesn't mean that no opportunities are going to come along. I think there are obviously ongoing investments needed in existing assets. However, given the asset size of the business and the relative age of the assets and conditions, so that's never going to be a major investment in terms of overall CapEx. So there will be relatively small expenses on the CapEx side and on the continuing operations. And then the management continues to evaluate opportunities in the market, and as shareholders, we continue to keep them honest and make sure that whatever they try to do needs to be in the interest of all shareholders in terms of generating positive returns. So that process is very much ongoing. But what I want to underline in these comments is that as Fondul, we're keen to get the IPO done as soon as possible. The management understands this; they're very supportive, and from the messaging that we're receiving from the majority shareholder as well, they're also very supportive of the process. So this should be priority number one.
Thank you very much. Congratulations on discovering a half year in which your share price crossed into premium territory. I hope there was a big hurrah in your office, maybe all work from home and distantly located, but I hope there was a very loud one across the entire fund management company. So congratulations to all of the team on that, and best wishes for the rest of the year.
Appreciate it very much, Dipinder. Thanks so much. And I think when we all get back to the office, we'll make sure to send you a recording of that hurrah.
Appreciate it. Bye.
We have one more comment online. One more question. Why was the law, including the new 33 RON water tax, rejected at the end of June by the Chamber of Deputies? Well, actually, this rejection has happened a few times already, where the law was sent back by the Chamber of Deputies into the commissions. Unfortunately, this doesn't mean that Hidroelectrica is paying less in the water tax. As Daniel explained earlier, the company is paying at the maximum level, which is around 33 RON per megawatt hour anyway. We have had discussions with the commissions and in the Chamber of Deputies, presented our point of view on the negative effects about the increase on the water tax, but we don't want to read too much into the fact that it has sent back by the Chamber of Deputies and they have refused to take a decision on it as of yet. What we can say is that we will continue these efforts to try to lower the level of the water tax by the Chamber of Deputies, and we'll keep shareholders updated on this point as well. Unless there are any other questions on the phone or online, may we check again?
We have no further phone questions at this time.
All right. In this case, we would like to thank everyone for your time today. For any additional questions, please feel free to reach out to us at any point in time. And we look forward to seeing you in the future. Stay well.
And that does conclude today's conference. We thank you for your participation. You may now disconnect.